Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs. We are at the Wisdom Roundtable in Proverbs chapter 11. Chris Langham with you and Peyton Jones.
Hey.
Denise Ross.
Here I am.
Well, we got a lot of Proverbs in front of us. Let's dive right in. We've got another of those little two-line wonders. And our first one is at verse 2. And to Denise, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, no problem. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And if we sit back and we think about this, who you want to be like? It's what would Jesus do, not what would Lucifer do, right? What got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Being prideful. That's one of the things. And he tricked a third of the angels to come with him. Man, those are dumb angels. But on the same token, we want to emulate what Jesus was. And that was one of the most humble people ever to have existed in human form, right? He rode to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey when he could have called his angels in and flew in on the wings of angels. He was a carpenter. You know, he was of the people. He washed the disciples' feet.
So pride and humility is going to be one of our key little dichotomies here in the book of Proverbs. And we see it. Jesus and Lucifer is the ultimate. And what we get in Proverbs is those little insights of what pride and humility look like up close. Pride looks like disgrace. You see it, you line it up. It's two dominoes. Pride comes, then disgrace comes. Humility is the key to wisdom. Is the key to wisdom. It's godly wisdom. All right. And speaking of, let's keep moving on. Give us some godly wisdom. Peyton, what's your verse for us?
Chapter 11, verse 7. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. You know, I used to live in Britain where the roads were originally built by Romans, and then they were paved over through the centuries by Anglo-Saxons, Vikings, Normans, Tudors, or whoever else happened to be in power. And each one of their empires in their prime felt like Mike Tyson in his prime, undefeatable until they died. Even Daniel saw a vision of all the world empires crumbling, but he saw God alone, the Ancient of Days, had a throne that would last forever. By the way, Christ's kingdom, 2,000 years, is still the reigning world champ for longevity. His reign alone will have no end. Everyone's boast or promise of power comes to nothing when they die. And all empires, like people, die.
Yeah, the heart of this is where you place your hope. Placing your hope is like setting your foot on a foundation, setting your foot on a rock and saying, can I put my trust in this? Will this hold? No matter how strong it is, no matter how firm that foundation seems, if you place your hope in mortals, that hope will die with that mortal. It can only last so long. So where do we place our hope? Where do we find that foundation? It's got to be in the immortal. That's why the resurrection of Christ is so key. Hope placed in immortality will last. Well, I'm going to bring us to our next verse, and I'm going to turn us back to verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Now, this one is what I call a balancing proverb. It gives the balance from another proverb that could have left us off center if left to itself. That one is back in chapter 10, verse 15 says, "The wealth of the rich is their fortified city." And it is. Riches are a refuge. They can protect you from a lot of harm. So it's tempting to put your trust in your wealth. Protect yourself with it. But 11:4 moves our gaze forward to judgment day. Yes, wealth is a refuge temporarily, but wealth is worthless when God comes to judge. Its protection won't last. When God's wrath comes, not his rage, God's wrath is about justice, and when it comes, wealth is worthless. But then the second part, but righteousness delivers from death. There is protection that really lasts in God's righteousness. So be right with God. That will deliver you from the greatest foe of all, from death. And only Jesus can provide righteousness for us. All right, we're going to keep rotating around to Deese. What's your next verse for us?
Proverbs 11:24, One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. You know, to me, I'm a simple person. You give as you would like to receive. When your hands are perpetually closed, grasping the things for individual ownership, how can anyone give you anything else? It's kind of like when they hunt raccoons, and sometimes they'll put a shiny object in a raccoon trap, and they'll stick their hand in there and they'll grab it, and they won't let go. So all they had to do was let go to get freedom, but they got something shiny in their hand, and they. So I don't want to be that raccoon.
And their fist is too large.
And their fist is too large to pull out with the shiny material. So I don't want to be that. And I want to give. I want God to pour into me. So I just pour it out. You know, that way there's always space to pour in. Matter of fact, it'll run over. But if I'm coveting and I'm keeping it all to myself, how can I help God's people?
Mm. Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah, generosity works that well. This is one of those proverbs that strikes you because it doesn't make immediate sense. How can you give everything away and yet have even more? That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Hmm. Well, blessed is a receiving. You receive a blessing. So how is it more receiving to give? Isn't receiving? But the more you give away, the more you're receiving from God.
Yeah.
All right, Peyton, what's your next proverb for us?
Verse 21, be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. I love that the proverb says, be sure of this. Sometimes it seems like people get away with stuff, but this proverb is saying nobody ever gets away with anything. People who escape justice on earth don't escape it in heaven. Be sure of this, Proverbs says. Like, for example, those who hurt kids are told by Jesus, better to have never been born. Jesus is speaking of the eternal justice they'll face, and he meant it. But the righteous will be pardoned for their sins. But those who are righteous will go free. How? Well, they're made righteous by faith in Christ's perfect life and innocent death, where he took the eternal punishment for all their sins on the cross. Those who think they've hidden their sin will be punished, but those who have hidden their sin in Christ will go free.
I like that you focused on the be sure of this. I think there's the lead in there, so you recognize, no, this isn't one of those proverbs that works sometimes and doesn't work other times. There are a lot of the proverbs that are like that, that like this is a general truth, but you know, there's always the one case that breaks the rule. But this one, it might be broken in the short term. In this life, you might not see it work out yet, but be sure, no. The wicked will not go unpunished. God is just. Justice will be served. And the righteous, they might suffer in the temporary, but the righteous will go free. This rule will be fulfilled in eternity. Well, I've got one more to close this out. I'm going to take us back to verse 12. Proverbs 11:12, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Now, to deride is to put down, to belittle. If you put down your neighbor, you have no sense. Why? Because you're burning bridges right in your neighborhood. You're starting conflict immediately around you. You bring trouble to your own home. If you picture your house as the bottom of a hill, and you are rolling big boulders up the hill, and they will roll back down. Now, the second half of verse 12 says the one who has understanding, that's the one who gets it. You see reality. You hold your tongue. That means you weigh your words before they leave your mouth. You don't want that boulder rolling back on you. So you weigh your words and hold on to your tongue. If you don't need to say it, don't say it. It will come back around to you.
Yeah, I think about it like this. Our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. And right. Here's the problem. My mouth can say something very fast, but I still got to live next to those people. That's your neighbor. If you're going to say something stupid about your neighbor, consequences might last as long as your mortgage.
Amen. And it's not just a matter of measuring whether it's true or not. Some people just take a moment to think, well, this is true, so it's okay to say. No, you can still do damage with the truth. You got to have grace and truth. Let your words be grace and truth, seasoned with salt. Take that moment to season it and make sure it comes out right before you do that damage. Well, guys, we are out of time for chapter 11. As you are listening, take some time to read Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll meet you back here for chapter 12.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.